So we're going to talk about the management of the diabetic athlete. So we got it with the BOC now, we got to do all these disclosures, right? So nobody thinks I'm worth enough to pay any money to listen to what I have to say, all right? You wouldn't be here if you didn't need the CEUs. You wouldn't listen to me. Let's be honest about it, okay? We got to go through objectives now, too. So what's the objective? Honestly, let's have a better understanding of diabetes. We all know what it is. It's me. I'm not going to get in depth to this, but we're going to have come out with a better understanding. We need to know normal blood sugar ranges. That's probably the most important thing out of this whole talk. But once I give you that slide, don't leave, okay? And we're going to talk about how to treat or care for the diabetic athlete. And it's not rocket science. It isn't football coaching, you know, in that we get. So what is this talk not about? How to diagnose diabetes. Okay, that's not our job as athletic trainers, physical therapists, whatever. For the record, if you've never gone to Alaska, I recommend it. That's Tracy's Crab Shack in Juneau, Alaska. They did not pay me to put that picture on there. It's the best crab I've ever had in my entire life. Right off the boat, right to there. So we're not going to talk about how to determine medication needs. Okay? You don't need to know how many units of insulin they need to give. You don't need to know what medicines they need to take. That's not your responsibility. And we're not going to talk about how to develop a treatment or nutritional plan for the diabetic. Okay? That's up to the MD, the RD, and the CDE, which is a certified diabetes educator. So what is diabetes? We do have to define it, unfortunately, to make it make better sense to what we're talking about. So it's a disease in which the body's ability to either produce insulin or respond to insulin, which is a hormone, is impaired, okay? So it results in abnormal metabolism of carbohydrates, which you just came from lunch with bread and cookies and brownies. Good job on the carbohydrates, all right? Which leads to elevated glucose in the blood and urine, okay? So my second disclosure, I'm a diabetic. I struggle with it daily. It sucks, okay? And the funny thing is, I was told many times I don't look like a diabetic. You know, you do go to the doctor, hey, I'm a diabetic. You don't look like one. What the hell does a diabetic look like? You know? I mean, it's not like there's a sign on my head or anything like that. It says diabetic, diabetic, diabetic. Well, so what does one look like? We think it would look like this, okay, right? Sometimes it does. If you're old and you grew up on Saturday morning cartoons, it might look like this in your mind, okay? Anybody know who that is? It's young. Millennials? Anybody? All right, Fat Albert? We'd get in trouble for having Fat Albert now, right? Politically incorrect, that cartoon would be off the air. Reality, it looks like this. He's a diabetic. That's Billie Jean King. She's getting up there in age. She's diabetic. Now, I don't know when she was diagnosed, okay, but she's diabetic. Texans have one, all right? Golfer, she's diabetic. If you look closely on her belt right there, and I can do that from over here, nope, that's an insulin pump, okay? So there it is right there for all that looks like a pager, all right? This guy, Olympian, he's diabetic. These celebrities are diabetic and you wouldn't know it, okay? We know a lot of people have heard about Paula Deen being one. If you're in the checkout line at the grocery store, you'd see her about, she cut out butter and lost 100 pounds or whatever, okay? If you're old school like me, 80s classic rock band guy, you know who that is. If you're a millennial, you don't, okay? He's a diabetic. And then we got this guy, our celebrity, in his mind, okay? He's a diabetic. So what are the signs and symptoms of diabetes? This should be in your handout. Fatigue, frequent urination. So when it talks about the definition of diabetes, it talks about elevated glucose in the blood and the urine, right? The body is trying to get rid of excess sugar by frequent urination. Thirst that can't be quenched. Always drinking something. The problem is, if you don't know you're diabetic, it's Texas. We like sweet tea, those of us that aren't diabetics. You're drinking the hell out of sweet tea. Your blood sugar's still going up. You're peeing all the time. It's, you know, it's just this wheel that just keeps going around, an unending circle. Blurred vision could be one of your signs. These are the most common. Unusual weight loss, okay? So you're not on a special diet. You're not on a special workout regimen. You're just dropping pounds like crazy, all right? And slow healing cuts and sores are pretty common with diabetics, especially those that are uncontrolled or undiagnosed. So if you look at the dog, when I first got diagnosed, and you have to go through all these classes, I felt like that dog looks, okay? My face is all hollow, my eyes are sunken in, I dropped a bunch of weight. I'm tired all the time. I'm sleeping and peeing. That was my, and drinking. That was my life for about 6 weeks before I went to the doctor. But you look like that. But when I first got diagnosed, I'm in this class and you had to go and get tested. You're a diabetic. And I said, I told you that when I came. I knew that's what it was. But anyway, you have to go to these classes with an educator. And back then, they would measure your wrist and get your height and go, Mr. Wilson, you need to lose 10 more pounds. Well, I already look like a concentration camp victim at that point. I'm not going to drop 10 more. Okay, it's just not going to happen. But you look and feel truly, if there's anybody in the room that is one, when they got diagnosed, that's what you felt like and looked like, honest to God. You're just kind of there and barely going. All right, so important take-home message, right? This is in the objectives. What's our normal blood glucose ranges? So if we're before breakfast, we want it for a normal individual to be below 100. Normal individuals aren't checking their blood sugar. The diabetic, we want it between 70 and 130. Before meals or snacks, normal person, less than 110. Diabetic, 70 to 110. Okay, so that's the number that would show up on your meter. 2 hours after a meal, less than 140 for a normal individual, less than 180 for the diabetic. Yeah, right. Okay. Bedtime, less than 120 for you normal people. 90 to 150 for the diabetic. That 90 is a little bit iffy, and I'm going to talk about that in a different manner in a minute. And then your A1C for the normal range for a normal person is less than 6%, and for a diabetic, it's 7. Now, an A1C takes a sample of your blood and looks at the red blood cells over a three-month window, and they come up with some percentage. If you just go simple about it, a 7% A1C is about a 140 average for a diabetic, okay, on blood glucose. So a little more on the A1C. If you want to go real technical with it real quick, less than 5.7 means you're non-diabetic. So if you go get a physical or annual blood work as part of your physical, they're going to look at your A1C, okay? A snapshot of your blood sugar in the doctor's office is not a real good indicator. Did you just eat lunch and have two cookies, a brownie, and four slices of bread at 15 carbs a piece for the bread, okay? So that's not a real good indicator. So let's look at it over a longer period of time. So the non-diabetic is less than 5.7. Okay, the 5.8 to 6.4 is a pre-diabetic. I'm sorry, I still feel the same way about diabetes as I do about ACL tears and pregnancy. Either you are or you aren't. There is no pre or partial. Okay, there are some partial ACL tears, but in the grand scheme of things, does it function or does it not? Are you diabetic or are you not? I think the 5.8 to 6.4 is really not pre-diabetic. It's get your ass in gear or you're going to become diabetic. It should be your wake-up call numbers. Okay? And if it's over 6.5 or over, you're diabetic by definition. So how do we diagnose diabetes? Besides, if you're astute and can pick up on the symptoms, honestly, you're probably not going to pick up on the symptoms of one of your athletes being undiagnosed, uncontrolled diabetic. You see them every day. You don't notice that weight loss. I see them one day, and a month later I see them, and they tell me a couple things. That might trigger it, but on a daily basis, I'm probably not going to notice it, to be honest. So we're going to look at those A1C levels, right? That's a great indicator. Now, you shouldn't take one A1C level. There's a lot of things that could raise your blood glucose over a period of time, illness and a bunch of other things, okay? Two fasting glucose checks. So nothing after midnight, wake up, check your blood glucose. If it's greater than 126, now by definition, you're diabetic. That's a pretty rigid standard, and they've really tightened that down. There's something called a glucose tolerance test. Thank God I didn't have to do this, because you drink some kind of nasty, thick, sweet drink, sit for 2 hours, and they measure your blood glucose and see how you tolerated that influx of glucose. And there's a thing called a C-peptide test, and I have that done about every year or so now, and it's measuring the amount of peptide in the blood, which basically peptide in the blood equals the amount of insulin your body is producing. Okay, so it's a good indicator of are you producing insulin or not, and if you are producing insulin, how much insulin you are producing. So there's types of diabetics. There's a type 1, the insulin-dependent diabetic. They need insulin to survive. Okay, their pancreas is not producing insulin or does not produce enough insulin for whatever reason. Okay. Could be an autoimmune destruction of the insulin-producing beta cells is what causes it, but we don't know what caused the beta cells to get destroyed, okay? But it's not producing insulin. You better know it as juvenile diabetes, right? That's typically that 4-year-old that gets diagnosed, or the 8-year-old or the 10-year-old that gets diagnosed. That doesn't mean that it doesn't happen to a 25-year-old. Those beta cells are destroyed, but typically it's in your juveniles that that happens, okay? You got your type 2s. These are your insulin-resistant diabetics. These are your individuals that have a long-term metabolic disorder, blah, blah, blah. It's high blood sugar and insulin resistance, or maybe a relative lack of insulin. So maybe, here's a problem. I'm a type, I won't tell you yet because I'm going to, next slide I'll talk about it. I'm a diabetic, okay? I was diagnosed a type 2 because they didn't check to see if I was, back then, if I was producing insulin or not. They just said, oh, you're old, you're fat, you're out of shape, you got a bad diet because it's Texas, I love chicken fried steak and fries. You're a type 2. We're going to put you on oral medications, all right? Now, annually, they look at my production of insulin, okay? That's what you know of as your adult onset diabetes. That's your basic two types of diabetics. Type 1, insulin. Type 2, non-insulin. Or insulin resistant, doesn't produce insulin, okay? Problem is, the lines are blurred these days, okay? And I'm talking about blurred lines between types of insulin, not this blurred lines, okay? Or types of diabetics. And the reason it's blurred is because there's other types now. There's kind of a type 1.5, and that's where I sit right now. I have decreased insulin production plus insulin resistant. I'm screwed, okay, in a manner of speaking. My body over the years, so when it was high and uncontrolled and undiagnosed, my body's pumping out insulin, but because I'm fat, out of shape, bad diet, my cells cannot utilize that insulin. Does that make sense what I'm saying? And it just kept pumping, kept pumping, kept pumping. At some point, it's not an infinite supply of insulin. At some point, I liken it to an oil field. It's going to dry up, okay? So I'm at the point where my insulin levels were up here, and over time, they're doing this. So over time, your insulin, your non-insulin dependent, your type 2 diabetics require insulin, which is a funny animal because we fire the hell out of insulin into their body to beat it into submission to take some of the insulin and use it that it doesn't want to use anyway because it's insulin resistant. So it kind of doesn't make sense. There's a kind of a type 3 they're talking about now, which could be Alzheimer's and where the glucose in the brain is never really utilized, and there's some tie-in with Alzheimer's there. More later on that. I won't be talking about it, though. All right? More later being research, not me. So how do we manage hyperglycemia? You're going to notice there's an asterisk by that. So that's high blood sugar. How do we manage that? So this is talking about concerning exercise-related high blood sugar readings, not uncontrolled diabetes readings. Or even if you're a diagnosed diabetic with a high blood sugar reading, I don't care. If you're a known diabetic with high blood sugar readings for a week, I care. We're going to talk about what you need to do, and we're going to modify at that point, okay? But the question really is there a blood glucose reading that's too high to exercise or play? In my opinion, no, outside of about 400 up, okay? Now, understand this. All diabetics, all individuals, when you go to work out or play, practice, whatever, that is perceived as a stress. Your blood sugar elevates automatically. The difference is, how does your body handle that elevation in blood sugar? In normal people, the exercise is great, right? It's for everybody, so it's going to slowly start dropping that. Your body won't be pumping out insulin. Hopefully your liver's not trying to push too much more sugar out. And you can deal with that, and you'll come in with a lower blood sugar, okay? Diabetics, the same way, type 1s, give them some insulin, it soaks it up and says, yes, thank you. So what I want to know is, what's your pre-practice or pre-game blood sugar? I don't give a crap if it's high, all right? There is a caveat to that, we'll get to it, okay? But exercise is good for all. For a type 2, exercise and diet doesn't fix it, but can help with a lot of those factors. If I drop some weight and I change my diet, good luck with both, okay? I got a better chance of growing hair. All right. If I change those things, my insulin resistance will decrease. That doesn't mean I'm going to get off of all my medicines. Okay, that's for some infomercial at 3 o'clock in the morning that doesn't work. But my meds may decrease because by lowering my weight, I'm hopefully opening up these cells to be more, you know, welcoming of this insulin that goes in, if that makes sense. Okay. But what I'm going to tell you is, it really depends on what the athlete's treating physician desires concerning the blood sugar readings, okay? Most of them that I've talked to and my doctors I have, they don't really care unless you get a bunch of highs over several days. You could have just taken a big test. You could have just had, you know, three cookies at lunch and your blood sugar spikes. It was high because you're an idiot. You didn't go by the nurse and they didn't inject and do a correction. And then they start eating. All right. Now, am I going to go change that? They're going to say, oh, you can't work out this afternoon? No, because the exercise is going to bring that down over time. Not necessarily during exercise. So you don't necessarily have to worry about the kid going out there running around at 300 and going to an 80 and he's in a low blood sugar episode. Odds are pretty good it's not going to happen that fast. Okay? So ask the parent, not the kid. The kid's going to tell you whatever they need to tell you to get out of practice. Okay? We know that. So ask the mom. Ask the dad. Is there a blood sugar reading that's too high for by your physician that this kid does not need to participate with? Typically, the answer is no. Every now and then, you may get one. So what are some complications from diabetes? We need to really talk about that for a second. Cardiovascular disease, eye damage, known as retinopathy, right? Kidney damage, neuropathy or nerve damage, skin conditions, hearing impairment, and potentially Alzheimer's if you look at that type 3. Now, high blood sugar and high cholesterol go hand in hand, all right? I don't understand it, but it does. The retinopathy and the neuropathy, basically the high blood sugars in the bloodstream affect your capillaries and your nerves, and so it can damage those. So diabetics are always, they tell you never to walk barefoot, check your feet. You want to make sure that you have your sensation, because if you start getting those neuropathies, you can get a cut that doesn't heal, get an infection, and bad things happen. Okay? So these are the big complications from diabetes. There's others. Hey, what happened? It went... Okay, that's interesting. Signs and symptoms of hypoglycemia? Shakiness? Who's ever had a low blood sugar episode? Anybody? It sucks. I'll beat up little kids when my blood sugar's low for their candy at Halloween. I don't like how I feel. I don't get that many of them. Look at me. I'm not controlled very well. I don't get, you know, but when I get them, I hate them. It's usually in the middle of the night. You get the shakes. You're sweating. You pale skin. I got some anxiety because I don't like how I feel. You're kind of stumbling around in the dark. If you were in college, they'd think you were drunk. All right? I'm not necessarily confused. I know what's going on. All right? If it gets too bad, you could have a seizure. If you do not correct a hypoglycemia issue, loss of consciousness, and death would be the next thing, okay? So you got to go do something to raise that blood sugar. And again, like I said, I hate it. I don't like how I feel. I feel horrible. You're sweaty. You're shaky. If it's sugar, I'll drink a thing of orange juice. Back in the day when my daughter ate Pop-Tarts, I'd eat two Pop-Tarts, and I'll wake up the next morning, and I'll go from a 60 blood sugar to a 302. But I don't care because 302 feels way better than 60 does, okay? It's not fun. Real quick to make that make more sense, high blood sugar over an extended period of time leads to those complications. High blood sugar today does not. That make sense? Low blood sugar anytime is a bad deal. Now, I gave you those ranges earlier. The problem is if you're uncontrolled or undiagnosed or uncontrolled, for somebody that lives at 325, 180 could be a low blood sugar episode for them. Okay, does that make sense? I've been up here for so long, when I get to here, my body's freaking out because this has become the new normal. So it kind of stair steps down to where over time, your normal becomes my normal, if that makes sense. So I don't know why I went wide on top of them now. So how do we manage hypoglycemia? It's simple, sugar. A Coke is now a health food item if your blood sugar's low. Seriously, don't drink all the Coke, half of it, okay? Candy, snacks, glucose tablets. Glucose tablets are cheap. You can get a thing of 10 of them for like $2. They don't go bad. It's just a sugar puck, okay? Three of them is 15 grams of carbohydrate. That should take care of it. Give them four, it ain't going to hurt them, okay? Soda, orange juice, Gatorade, Powerade, not to mention anyone and get in trouble, okay? Anything with carbohydrates or sugar, mainly the sugar because the sugar's fast-acting, though, even though carbohydrates are too. You could give them a bowl of pasta and crap in a couple minutes. Woo, I feel good, all right? And then 911. If that doesn't take care of them within about 30 minutes, they need to go. They need to go get taken care of. They need an IV with glucose in it, and they need monitoring. It should level out in about 30 minutes' time. Probably 30 minutes, you need to be checking it more to make sure it's trending up. Okay, and if not, call it. So what are our management tools? information. That's what I'm giving you right now, even though it's coming from me. You need to have a glucose meter. People, glucose meters are cheap. They screw you on the strips, the test strips, but the meter's cheap. You can get a meter for 20 bucks. You get a meter for 20 bucks with 10 strips in it, you're good for a year, unless the strips are going to go bad anytime soon. Go to Kroger, go to Walmart, they make their own or some off-brand. You can get a meter and strips for about 30 bucks. It should last you a year, minimum. No reason not to have one of these in your training room, okay? Test strips you got to have, and they're all individual and they're all different. So you can't have your diabetic athlete give you test strips unless you're going to have the same meter he's got. Have your own. You need lancets, so we need to be able to stick their finger to make it bleed, okay? And always have some kind of sugar. I always had snacks. I had glucose tablets in my kit, my trunk. We had Powerade and Cokes and all that. And if the worst comes to worst, I can go to the concession stand and get them something, okay? But we were ready for that. Your emergency action plan plays a part in this. Because again, if they don't start trending up, what do we got to do? 911, okay? So, other management tools, diet plays a part. And Brett's going to talk later. I think we got two people talking about nutrition. The basic diet for the world that should be right is lower amounts of carbs, protein, fruits and vegetables, right? Not bowl of pasta and a salad, okay? Even though I love that. Or give me a sleeve of Ritz crackers. That's a great 15 minutes. But that's bad, okay? So diet plays a part, but we're not going to talk about diet. That's for those other people. But if we can, if an individual that's diabetic takes care of their diet, that helps with the maintaining of the good blood sugar levels and potential complications down the road. Exercise, look at me, man, Greek God. Exercise every day when I wake up and breathe. That's it. That's all I'm going to do, okay? You get me to exercise, something's wrong. I'm running. I'm in the fight or flight if I'm exercising. I'm getting robbed or something, okay? Let's lower our stress levels. Stress can skyrocket your blood sugar like nothing. My daughter can get my blood sugar so freaking high. Oh, my God. And it doesn't take much. How my body deals with stress and how it, because we're dropping adrenaline and all these things in that stress to deal with it, my blood sugar just goes, it just skyrockets, okay? So you got to relax. So you need a management team. That's weird. You need a management team. That's your primary care physician. Am I good? Okay. Your endocrinologist, they should have an endocrinologist, at least in the youth era. Your registered dietitian, certified diabetes educator, the parents, the athlete, and yes, the athletic trainer, okay? That's the team. It takes all of those people to manage diabetes. Or, screw it, let's go live there. Stress level's lower, isn't it? I just don't know how I'd make a living. Or we can go there. I'd take either one. We can go there, we can go the Caribbean, we can go the Pacific Northwest. I don't have a problem with either one of them. My stress level goes down. My mom has a rental property on Bolivar. When I hit the island, my blood pressure drops 10 points. When the ferry leaves, it drops another 10. And by the time I get off the ferry on the peninsula, I'm about comatose because I'm relaxed. Okay? So find something to drop the stress. That exercise may be your stress reliever. It causes stress for me. All right? So how do we handle medications at school, practice, games? Well, they should be able to carry their meter and their insulin. Right? It's like their inhaler. There's no reason why that's got to be locked up somewhere. They can't say, oh, well, they may inject somebody else. Well, hell, they all trade their inhalers every day because somebody forgets theirs. They should have that. Make sure they have it when they get on the bus to go to a game or whatever. I always made them check their blood sugar in the training room before practice because they're going to lie to me. It happens. They're going to lie to me. All right? They traveled with their meter and they took a snack. I didn't let them travel with their insulin. It needs to stay at a good temperature, and God only knows what's going to happen to it. Insulin is not cheap, okay? If I didn't have insurance for a 5-pack, it'd be about $1,000 of pens, all right, if not more. And if they wear a pump, pump's a little bit different animal. Obviously, they cannot participate in sports with it on, not from a safety standpoint, but basically it's about $10,000 to buy one. You don't want to be the guy that let them break it by playing in it, okay? There's something called an infusion port, so you got your little pager. It's got a tube that goes into an infusion port somewhere on the body. Abdomen, glutes, quads, wherever. You can cover that so it doesn't get ripped off. Pause the pump and they can go participate. Some of them now is all wireless and they've got the infusion set's a little bigger holding the insulin and they smartphone their dosage. That's all I got. Thank you.